If you'd like to come and sit, find a seat together, then that'd be great. And if you can find the reading, which is on your tool sheet, your tool thin sheet, you'll find the reading from Luke 8 there. Okay, we're in this parable now, having last week read the first three verses of Luke 8, where it talked about Joanna and Susanna and Mary Magdalene. Do you remember that from last week? People going, thank you, Pauline. That's very encouraging. Should we pray together? Maybe with our hands open, we might want to just say, God, we open ourselves to you to speak to us. Try and open your heart to God now and allow him to say whatever he needs to say to you. God, we want you to speak words to our lives and for them to take root in us and for them to bear fruit. Amen. Amen. Okay. Have you heard of the parable of the prodigal son? Yes, thank you. Very good. It should be known as the parable of the father or the running father, because the focus of the story, really the most significant bit, is the bit at the end when it tells us about the quality of the father, more significant than the quality of the son. And this is known as the parable of the sower. And have you heard of the parable of the sower before? Okay. This should be known as the parable of the soils, I reckon, rather than the parable of the sower. For there is only one bit that the sower does, and that is to sow. And the rest of the story is more interesting. Okay, the sowing bit is not the interesting bit. What happens next is the interesting bit. Are you with me? Yes, good. Okay. Would you have got it if you were there? Imagine Jesus in the crowd, you standing in front of the crowd, and you being part of the crowd. And he tells this story. There was once a guy who sowed some seed. Some fell on the path, some fell on the rocky ground, some fell on the thorny ground, and some fell in good ground. Good. Would you have got it if you were there? Would you have gone, yeah, I see what he's doing there. He's that's clever. I reckon, what do you reckon? I reckon the path is for, and the rocky ground is for, and the seed is definitely, would you have done that? Or would you have just gone, what's with the path, soil, good, rocky, thorny thing? I think we would have been disappointed, to be honest. Just as if I sat down now, because we've read the parable, you don't really need anyone to explain it to you, do you? I mean, you don't really need anyone. Would you be disappointed? I think we'd have been disappointed, or we would have left wondering. There was a guy who used to tell stories for a living, and he would go around the place to bars and clubs, and he would do this for God. And he would just tell stories. That's what he did. He advertised himself as a storyteller. And because God and him were close, his stories always had a double meaning, although he never explained them to people. He got invited to speak to a church youth group once, and he told this story. It was a fantastic story, and the kids loved the story, and then he finished the story and sat down. Afterwards, the elders of that church gathered together in the room at the back, and they brought him in, and they called him in. They said, we've invested quite heavily in tonight. We got you in because we knew that you were going to kind of tell the gospel to people, to the young people. We got the kids to bring their friends, and all you did was just tell them a story. We're a bit disappointed. The window of the vestry or whatever they were in was open, and there were two kids standing outside having an argument about what the doctor in the story, who the doctor was and who the other character in the story was. And they were debating in themselves. No, that was God. That was God. They were doing exactly as he had hoped. And yet I think for some of us, we like to have truth, or we think that truth is best expressed in a boxed up, nicely, neatly, this is what you ought to do way. Jesus decided to do it another way. He told stories about soils. The great thing is that the disciples didn't get it either, and so we needn't be ashamed of not getting it. So with following the disciples, in the great tradition of being like the disciples, we go, what was that about the soils? The soil, it seems, is the environment for growth. Soil is the environment which growth takes place, the place our life grows from. So what matters is soil. Soil is the most important thing for growth. The seed is constant. Seed is always the same seed all the time. What changes, what difference, is the soil, the quality of the soil. And there are four types of soil. And they are? Flattened out path. Rocky. Thorny. Good soil. Very easy to remember. Which is the person sitting next to you? That was the best answer, Tim, isn't it? Yeah, that's such a good one. Yeah. Because that's what I do when I hear this thing. I try and work out what everyone else is. Chat to the person next to you and tell them what you think they are. Go on, tell them. Have a conversation with the person next to you about whether they're thorny, rocky, or good soil. Yep, you can be a bit of each. Well done, Tim. Okay, the question I want you to answer now is, how do you know what someone is? How do you know? By their fruit. Do you think that's a good answer? Yeah, would you agree? So what would a path-like person look like? If the seed fell on the path soil, what would it look like? Empty, unspiritual, barren. Sorry? Initially okay? Yeah, that's interesting. Let's just read the verse 5. Farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell on the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Okay, how does Jesus explain that? Jump down, look for the next verse which Jesus explains that. Verse 12. Okay, the seed is the word of God. Verse 12. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and the devil comes along and takes the word from their hearts. Important words are there, I read to say, devil, image of the birds coming away, picking it up, or trampling on it. So either the devil comes and tramples on you, on the word, tramples on the word, squishing it out, or takes it away completely, picks it away completely. From their heart. The important thing is the quality of their heart. The soil is the heart. We live from our hearts outwards. The shape of our hearts will determine what's going on in our lives, according to Jesus. Okay, rocky people, how would you tell what they look like? What do rocky people look like? You what? You can't tell what rocky people look like. They look like you and me. You can't judge them. You just have to hope. Is that right? Or would you be able to tell over time? Through their actions. Okay, and what kind of actions would you be able to tell? What would be the difference between a good soil person maybe and a rocky soil person? What does Jesus, how does Jesus describe a rocky person? After verse 12, read verse 13 in one voice. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. Okay, so what group of people is this? What heart? It doesn't take root in them. So they grow a little bit, and then it just, because there's too much, it's a bit dry, maybe the land is too dry, or... You need to build yourself up in it. You need to, by the word of God. What did you say, Dave? They stopped coming to church. Yeah, maybe. Okay, so what happens? So they go back to their old ways, their old habits, says Dave. There's something about the testing thing, isn't there? Things got too hard. Too big a demand on them. Ooh, okay. They can't make sense of their faith when something bad happens. Say a bit more, Ben. Okay, so George is talking about a foot in each camp sort of thing, and then when the trial comes, they move across. Sitting on the edge, on the fence. Okay.
They're taken to a place where they need to make some personal choices in their life, which shows
for example. Tim's adding the sense that even that they might be taken to a place, there might be a testing place, which kind of reveals, sharpens them up. And saying maybe it's that point where they really work out whether they're in this thing or not. And the testing seems to crush them, actually, doesn't it? Because they had no root. Yeah, go on. Okay, Keke is, thank you, Keke, that's fantastic. She's saying in her own culture from Africa, there maybe people would start off as Christian, but then they'd go and return to their old traditions, their old gods, the gods of their ancestors. They would return to that and they would start saying, they would go backwards. Now, okay, who are our gods? If that's an African culture, who are the gods of our age? Money? Materialism, clothing, relationships, security, status, busyness, success, military might. What was yours? Okay, honesty and love, you're saying, are the gods of our age. Okay, yeah, good. It's all in there. Okay, thorny ground. What's the problem with thorny people? Thorny ground people, I mean, not thorny people. Okay, they start off okay, but when the going gets tough, they get going. Okay, what is thorny ground? There's the path, there's the rocks, and there is the thorny ground. It struck me that the thorny ground was crowded. You agreed? There's just a lot else going on in that person's life. The seed wasn't given space to breathe, and there was a lot of competition for nutrients from the thorns. And we all know that brambles, no matter how much you cut them back, seem to have a way of coming again and again and again. We have cut back the brambles through, that there's some brambles in our gooseberry bushes, and they come back fiercer than the gooseberry bush every single year and make us less likely to take the gooseberries from the gooseberry bush because of the thorns. They are incredible, aren't they? Brambles. What would a bramble-filled life look like? How would you tell? Well, can the church help by cutting the brambles away? Okay, yeah. Can the church? Good question. How could you tell whether someone has a crowded life? Sorry, go on, Aaron. Most people do nowadays. So you might say that most people are in this category in our culture? Is that what you might suggest? Okay. And most people in the church as well as people outside the church, you reckon? Crowded out by stuff? Okay. What do you reckon? Do you reckon church people are less crowded or as crowded or more crowded than other people? Okay. They might have prioritized, yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah, let's read. Yeah, excellent, Tim. There's a lack of maturity. Key word. Let's read verse 14 out together with one voice. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. Very good. Lack of maturity. Lack of maturity. You've got immature Christians, immature kingdom people. They've taken some of the word of God into their lives, but they lack maturity. And there's all sorts of other stuff crowding out their lives that mean that they're not really mature in some way. They've got distracted again by worries, fears, concerns, or they've got distracted by aspirations and hopes, desires for riches and pleasures. And they look less mature than others. Okay. Good one. Okay, next one. The good soil. Okay, verse 8. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. How can you tell when you see a good soil? Growth, fruit, produce 100 times what was sown into it. Verse 15, but the seed on good soil stands for those, I love this, noble and good heart. How can you tell? They hear the word, retain it, and persevering produce a crop. Noble, it's not a word we use very much. Is the person sitting next to you noble of heart? Do they have a noble heart? What does noble-hearted mean? What does that look like if you're noble in your heart? You're noble. What's Jesus saying? Chat to the person next to you, find out the meaning of noble. What does noble mean? Any thoughts then from your discussions? What does noble mean? It's an inner quality, not a status. Yes, very good, Dave. Yeah. All right. What has someone else said? An inner quality. It's a humility. Courageous. Oh, I like that. Yeah. Gracious. Solid and trustworthy. Pure in heart. Any others at the back over there? Self-sacrificing. They're what? Authority. Has an aspect of authority in there. Loyal or royal? Royal. Okay, yeah, okay. Yeah. Something that reflects God is what Dillis said, yeah. So I missed out someone else at the back. Or someone who honours other people. A heart that honours other people. Were you doing that from memory, or were you reading that? That was very impressive. Yeah, that was excellent. Oh, man of noble heart. Yeah. And the fruit is evident for everyone to see. They produce a crop. What is the crop? Other people are a crop. So it produces other people who... What? Just other... Well, how do you produce other people, Tor? What do you mean by... I mean, other than you producing other people, obviously you've done that twice very successfully. But what do you mean? You go on to teach other people, so other people getting this thing. Okay, love is a quality, isn't it? Which is slightly different from the fruit of evangelism or something like that, where you might get lots of converts. Love is a quality. You might produce a lot of love in your life. Yeah, Paul did say that, absolutely. Which do you fall immediately to? Do you fall into the... What Jesus is really talking about is evangelism here, or is he really talking about the quality of life of someone? The fruits of the Spirit. Living his way, okay. And the... Nice thought, Anne. So Anne was saying that a noble serves their lord and master. That was what makes you a noble. And therefore a noble heart will produce the crop that other people will also serve that lord and master. Like that. Nice. Could be both. You've got to talk to them, yeah. It's good, Dave. I like it. Just tell me what the seed is. Okay, what's the Word of God? I know you might think, well, it's the Word of God, Richard. Why are you asking the question? But honestly, I'm asking the question because it can mean different things, can't it? Okay, so the commands of God are like the kind of like love one another or serve one another. die to self. Okay, so commands, that might be one aspect. What's another word of God? Or is it making disciples? Okay. Tim is pointing at the Bible as the word of God. Is that what Jesus is talking about? They hear the Bible. Some people hear the Bible and they produce good fruit. Is that what Jesus meant? The message of the kingdom. Okay, so that's a slightly truncated version or a smaller version of the message of the kingdom. Yeah. Is someone giving you a word from the Lord, the word of God? Do you know what I mean by that? When someone says, I've got a word from the Lord. Yeah. In other words, a more specific word of God rather than a more generalized word of God. There is the general word of God. God loves us. He's forgiven us in Jesus. We can be saved through faith in him. He's going to come back and rescue the whole world. So that you know, follow him, trust him. Those are the big words of God. And then there's the other one about, have you noticed that you get a little bit irritated around so-and-so and maybe God wants to do something about that? That can be a more specific word from God, can't it? Do you see what? Still a word from God, but it's a more specific version of that word. Would you agree? Yeah, I'm not saying you need to judge, go around judging everyone else. What I'm saying is sometimes God speaks to us about stuff going on in our lives in a very specific way as opposed to the more generalized way. Yeah, he comments every minute of the day. Okay, that's a bit what I'm really saying. Is the word of God a one-off event, or is it something that might continue through your life? Is this Jesus just saying there are some people who have heard this word of God once and then they are like good soil? Or is he saying there are people who are always open to the words of God, the word of God, the living, breathing word, voice of God, and they produce good fruit? Do you see the slight difference? One's a one-off event and the other is an ongoing process. When did God last speak to you about something? And what did he say? What did you hear? What did you do? Are you with me on that? Do you see what I'm asking? Was it a once-only word of God that you've responded to and therefore think, right, I am now good soil? Or is it an ongoing process thing where every day God might be trying to say something to you? And the question is your heart open to the word of God? We don't yet know which we are, says Ben. Okay, now, this is the question. Tell the person next to you which you might be this week, this last week. If you were to judge yourself for the way that you were this week, how was your heart? Was it like a path that the devil came and trampled on the word and took it away? Were you full of thorns and crowded out? Were you rocky and the testing came and then you just withered away? Or were you like good soil? Can you decide for yourself which you are this week? Last week, that is. Have a think, chat to the person, choose one. It's okay to choose good. It's not false humility just to go for the, well, I think I'm the thorny ground. If you think you were the good soil this week. Good soil. It's interesting watching you talk, and it strikes me that as soon as we ask the question of ourselves, we start telling stories about how things were this week, and examples seem to be cropping up about, well, this made me feel like I was a bit more thorny, and this made me feel a little bit like a path, and this made me feel da 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 da. I had a little chat with Mary as she walked across the front, just before she came up to the front. She said, oh, the Lord is so good, isn't he? You can't deny when someone says that. You can't say no. Yeah, he is so good. He is so good. Because she went on to say, he speaks to me all the time. All the time he speaks to me. Through books, through words, he's speaking to me all the time. I think we have someone in our midst who has had a noble and good heart this week. May we go and be like Mary this week, good and noble-hearted, open to the word of God, able to retain it and then persevere with it. The quality of the soil is what matters. The quality of our heart is what matters. We do not work to make the seed grow. We just give it the right environment, and God will do the rest. May we, as a church, produce great fruit, love and kindness, grace and joy. And may others become followers of Jesus as a result of our lives. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Just pray. Let's pray together. Father, you know us. You know the quality of our hearts. There's no hiding from you. And I don't think Jesus was really telling the story to get at people, but to open them up to reflect about themselves. And so this morning, just as I have done, and others here this morning are doing with me, we are wondering about the state of our hearts. And we give you our heart again, opening ourselves up for the word of God spoken to us this day. Speak so that we can hear and then respond, we pray. Take away the worries and concerns, our hopes and aspirations that crowd out your word. Protect us from the evil one who comes to trample on the word of God spoken to us, the promises of God sown into our hearts, and take them away. Nurture our ground, clear it of rocks. Help us to be disciplined and to cultivate our hearts, to be ready for your word spoken to us. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Great. Next week, we will pray for each other to be healed by God's power. So come ready to pray. Invite God's Spirit. Talk about it this week. Bring friends along. Bring your non-Christian friends along. Anyone along. Do you know what I mean? Because we're going to pray next week and God will turn up and do things amongst us. So we're going to pray next week. And then the week after is Baptism Sunday. And then in November, we've got those four guys coming to speak to us. So invite your friends to that from the churches around. So it would be great to hear, for them to hear what God is saying to Twerton. Does that make sense? Great. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.